Okay, so you're back for more, huh? You know the drill by now. You're here because time is precious and you want to understand the really important stuff like really fast.
Exactly, no time wasted. And today we're doing a deep dive on Baskert v. Beal, this 2004 Alaska Supreme Court case that I think really cuts to the chase when it comes to property law and just basic fairness.
I mean, it's a classic case, really. If you've ever wondered, like what happens when a property, gets foreclosed on and it's worth way more than the debts? Like what role does the legal system, the courts play in making sure that that whole process is actually fair? This case, I think, really digs into that tension.
Big time. You've got the lender, right? They want their money back. It's only fair. But then you've got the borrower, and you have to make sure they're not getting taken advantage of. Baskert v. Beal is really like the poster child for this dilemma.
It is. So today we're going to untangle some key legal concepts, like grossly inadequate price and the whole idea of a trustee's fiduciary duties. But don't worry, we're not going to get all bogged down in jargon. Okay. We'll make sure you actually get it, why it matters, and what it means for you as a law student or anyone who's like curious about this stuff.
For sure. And to really appreciate what the Supreme Court did here, we have to start with the story, right?
Yeah.
Back in 91, we've got Annette Beal. She buys these two properties right next to each other.
Hmm.
Parcel one, that was 95,000 bucks. Parcel two, a little more expensive, 135,000.
Okay, two properties. Got it.
Now here's where it gets a little tricky. She takes out two separate loans, right? One for each property. That makes sense. But both of these loans are secured under like one big deed of trust.
Ah, so one deed of trust for both properties, even though there are two loans. Interesting.
Right, exactly. And as you might expect, these deeds of trust, they usually have this clause, like a standard thing,
Yeah.
that says if you default on one loan, it's like you've defaulted on both, legally speaking.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Like a package deal, default on one, default on all.
But, and this is crucial, the trustee, they have the power. They get to choose whether to foreclose on just one of the properties or both. It's up to them.
Okay, so the trustee has some wiggle room here, some discretion in how they handle things. This is important. All right, so we've got Beal, two properties, two loans, one deed of trust. What happens next?
Well, a few years go by, 1994, Beal, she actually pays off the entire loan on parcel one. That's the $95,000 one. So that property's in the clear. No more debt on that one.
All right, so one property down, one to go. Makes sense.
But then, 1999 rolls around, and Beal, she defaults on the loan for parcel two. The balance, get this, is only $26,780.81.
Wow, so less than 27 grand. That doesn't seem like a huge amount, especially compared to what we know about the value of these properties. Keep that number in mind, folks. This is where things get really interesting and, well, kind of messed up.
Yeah, it's about to go sideways.
No.
Okay, so we have the trustee, Sarah Baskert. She's the one named in the deed of trust. Remember how she has the option to foreclose on one or both properties? Well, she decides to go for both. Parcel one, which is completely paid off, and parcel two, with that small remaining debt.
Seriously, she went after both. That seems, I don't know, a little aggressive, wouldn't you say? Especially with one property being totally free and clear.
Yeah, it raises some eyebrows for sure. And here's the real kicker. At the foreclosure sale, guess who the only bidder is?
I have a bad feeling about this.
Baskert herself. And she scoops up both properties for a grand total of, you guessed it, $26,781.81. $1 more than the outstanding debt on parcel two.
Hold on, hold on. She basically got both properties, one that was fully paid off and the other with a tiny debt for basically nothing.
That's essentially what went down.
Wow, that's wild. So obviously Beal is not going to be happy about this, right?
Right. I mean, talk about adding insult to injury. So she sues, right? She wants the sale thrown out. Her argument is twofold. One, the price was way, way too low, what's called grossly inadequate in legalese. And two, she claims there were all these shady things going on with the sale itself, like procedural irregularities. Things weren't done by the book.
Makes sense. You can't just take someone's property for a song and, not follow the proper procedures, right?
Exactly. And the lower court, the Superior Court in Alaska, they sided with Beadle. They said, yeah, this sale, it's voidable. We're canceling it. They specifically called out that super low price and the fact that the trustee went after both properties when, one was totally paid off.
So the lower court saw the unfairness here, the imbalance. Okay, but then what? I'm guessing this isn't the end of the story, right? It goes to the Supreme Court.
You got it. This goes all the way up to the Alaska Supreme Court. And their decision, their reasoning, This is where it gets really meaty for law students, for anyone interested in this area of law. They basically hang their hat on two big ideas.
Okay, I'm ready. Lay it on me. What are these two pillars of the Supreme Court's reasoning?
First, they look at the price, right? We're talking roughly 12% of the fair market value. Mm-hmm. And they're like, nope, this is way too low. This shocks the conscience. Those are their words. And under Alaska law, a shockingly low price, that's enough to void a foreclosure sale. Like, straight up, that's it. You're done.
Shocks the conscience. I like that. It really captures the absurdity of the situation, right? But how do they define fair market value in this context? Because, you know, in a foreclosure, things can get a little desperate.
Yeah, good point. And the court, they're very clear about this. They're saying, look, it's not about some, like, fire sale price where everything's getting dumped for pennies on the dollar. It's about what a willing buyer and a willing seller would agree on given a reasonable amount of time to find a buyer, you know, a fair market. No one's getting pressured. No one's getting ripped off.
That's a crucial distinction, right? It's about protecting the borrower from being exploited in a vulnerable situation.
Totally. And that brings us to the second big idea from the Supreme Court. Breach of fiduciary duty. Now, law students, listen up, because this is a concept you're going to see everywhere. Not just in property law.
Yeah, fiduciary duty is a big one. Essentially, it means you have a legal obligation to act in the best interests of someone else, right? You're putting their needs before your own.
That's it, in a nutshell. And in a non-judicial foreclosure, which is what we have here, it's happening outside of a courtroom. You know, it's, you know, more of an administrative process, the trustee. They're supposed to be impartial. They're not just working for the lender. They have to look out for both the lender and the borrower, make sure everything's fair and square.
Gotcha. So in this case, with less oversight from the court, the trustee's role becomes even more important. It's like they're the guardians of fairness in the whole process.
And in Gaskert v. Beal, the Supreme Court, they basically said, look, the trustee dropped the ball here. They should have thought about selling those properties separately. You know, it's pretty clear that parcel one, the one that was completely paid off, or even just parcel two on its own, mm-hmm. they could have easily gotten enough money to cover that. What was it, like 27 grand debt?
Yeah, less than 27 grand. It just seems so unreasonable to sell both to make Beal lose all that equity when a much simpler solution was right there. It's like using a sledgehammer to crack a nut.
Totally. It's about proportionality, right?
Yep.
The solution should match the problem. Don't go overboard.
So the court's saying, hey, trustee, you had a duty to avoid unnecessary harm to the borrower. You could have done this differently.
And, you know, to make things even worse, there are these allegations that, well, Baskert wasn't exactly playing by the rules.
Oh, really? Like what?
There were claims that she had already made a deal with some people before the foreclosure sale, like they were in cahoots.
Oh.
And get this, people said she was actually discouraging other potential bidders from participating. Like, don't even bother showing up. This is already decided.
That's shady. So even though the price and the breach of fiduciary duty were enough for the court to make their decision, these extra allegations, they just solidify how messed up this whole situation was. So to be crystal clear for our listeners, especially you law students out there, the Alaska Supreme Court basically laid down the law. Here are two ways a foreclosure sale in Alaska can be overturned. Number one, the price is so low it makes your jaw drop. Like, seriously, what were they thinking? Or number two, the price is bad and there's all this other sketchy stuff going on, like procedural shenanigans.
Yep. And they really hammered home the point that trustees in these non-judicial foreclosures, they have a huge responsibility to be fair and impartial. They're not just rubber stamping whatever the lender wants.
So listeners, why should you care about this case, especially if you're not in Alaska? Well, because it shows that the legal system, it can step in and make things right, even when we're talking about contracts, like these deeds of trust.
Yeah.
It's not just about blindly following the letter of the law. It's about making sure things are fundamentally fair.
Right. It's saying, hey, foreclosure, it's not just some mechanical process, some heartless algorithm.
Yeah.
We're going to look at the human side of things, make sure no one's getting steamrolled.
Absolutely. And for you legal eagles out there, Baskert v. Beal, it's a textbook example of how important fiduciary duty is and how courts are willing to look beyond the strict words of a contract when things have gone seriously wrong.
It's like the law, it's not always black and white. There's this whole other layer of fairness and equity that can really change the game.
Okay, so let's wrap this up. Bring it all home. What's the big takeaway from our deep dive into Baskert v. Beal? In Alaska, if the price of a foreclosure sale is just ridiculously low, the court can toss it out, even if there aren't a ton of other procedural mistakes. And even more important, trustees in these non-judicial foreclosures, they gotta act fairly reasonably. They can't just take a mile when an inch will do.
Right. And this case, it raises some really big questions, doesn't it?
Like, yeah.
How do we balance the rights of lenders to get their money back with protecting borrowers from losing everything? Where do we draw the line?
Definitely something to think about. And, you know, we encourage all of you to consider how these ideas from Baskerud v. Beale, this whole grossly inadequate price thing, the fiduciary duties of trustees, how these ideas might apply in other legal situations, maybe even in different states. Because foreclosure laws, they can be all over the map.
Yeah, it's worth digging into.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're really into this, you could explore fiduciary duties in other areas of the law, see how it plays out. Or look into how different states regulate foreclosures, how they try to make sure things are fair. This case, it's like a springboard to a whole bunch of other fascinating topics.
There you have it. Another deep dive complete. We'll see you next time, folks. Keep those legal minds sharp.
Keep learning.